God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
Good
morning, everyone. How you doing? Good morning, everyone. How you doing? All right. Anyway, welcome to First Church. It is awesome to see each and every one of you. Thank you so much for your presence today. And I tell you what, good to see you. Praise God. I know she doesn't like to be pointed out, but we just give God praise for you being here today. And that is just amazing stuff. So make sure you bring greetings over here. So as we, well, of course, not during the sermon, but you know, maybe after worship or something. But anyway, well, good morning. It is great to see you. You've come to the right place here at First Church. We love to not only worship God, but have fun while we worship God. And we thank you so much for your presence. If you're visiting with us today, we put out a special welcome. And we just thank you for coming and being a part of this church on Sunday morning. If you would, those who are visiting, if you would take this third sheet of your bulletin, it does tear out, it's perforated. Fill it out, put your name, address, telephone number so we can greet you properly. That would be amazing. And put it in the offering basket later on in the service. If you're a regular attender, if you could put your name down and put that in the offering basket, that would be great as well. We thank you so much for doing that. If you would turn with me to your announcements this morning. Oh, there we go. I had the power, and I didn't know I had the power, Doug. Wow, that's amazing. We have many important announcements, as we always do. Please don't ever tire of hearing me say that. It's just, I want you all to make sure you take a look at the announcements and compare them to your calendar and be present at all, you know, that you can be here for. Lunch Bunch is today. It is going to be a good time. It's got the Hawaiian theme, and several people around that are helping out have their Hawaiian shirts on, which is really cool this morning. But Circle D's putting it on, and it's ham and fresh pineapple. And so make sure you come on down and enjoy the food and the fellowship and as we raise money for missions in that regard. Make sure you remember, next Sunday is Warm House Sunday, okay? And we'll have a barrel back here. We want to support the Warm House. Bring your non-perishable food items, and we'll take that over for you during the week. So make sure that you remember that. Obviously, if you forget it on Sunday, they would welcome you to bring it anytime, right? So bring that over to the Warm House if you don't bring it next week. Also, next week during communion, we raise funds for our benevolence fund, which what that does is helps people with their electric bill, gas, going to doctor's appointments and things like that. Food, if need be. So if you would like to support that ministry, we invite you to do that. And it's just really once a month when we support that ministry with our finances. Of course, don't forget the free movie night this Friday night, Nanny McPhee. I look forward to seeing that myself. So we have a couple folks who, and unfortunately, I let last Sunday slip by me, and I've already apologized for that. But Gail James and Dorothy Bissell are going to be retiring from our organ playing. Yes, and give Dorothy a hand. I think she has been an amazing organist. And we just thank you so much for the years that you've put in here and the way you make that organ sing for us. And so thank you so much. And, you know, you're welcome to come back anytime. All right? And that goes for Gail as well. And so we will be yes. Where is she? There she is. Yay. She is here. Now, she's probably really irritated with me because she really doesn't like to be lifted up in any way. But, Gail, we do thank you so very much for being here. And like I told Dorothy, making that organ sing. You guys are just amazing. And for those who don't play the organ, many times we don't understand how difficult it is. Jamie has said for years that she plays the piano in an awesome way, but she can't play the organ at all. So there's something different about that instrument that is very hard. And so we thank you so much for your time that you've given to this church. And So one other thing I want to lift up that is not in your bulletin is Homer is collecting aluminum or tin cans. Aluminum or tin cans. And so if you want to bring them to the church, he tells me that anytime there's access to the choir room, you can bring them in a sack and put them down there. I assume that communication has happened here. But and what that is, that he takes that somewhere, and the funds that are raised supports the children's ministries of the church. And so if you have aluminum or tin cans, and you're interested in supporting the ministry, the children's ministries of this church, bring them to the church and put them in the choir room, and then Homer's going to take them and turn those in for cash at some point. I can't remember when you said. August 5th? August 5th, he's going to do that. So if you can do that, obviously, prior to that date, it would be very helpful. So, again, we give God praise for your presence today. Are you ready for an amazing worship service this morning?
Yes.
Awesome, awesome. Please keep in mind your announcements, and also don't forget to turn in your connection card in the offering basket later in the service. We're going to start with Dorothy bringing our prelude, and then we'll begin with our songs of praise. Dorothy?
Stand for our songs of praise, I Will Believe and You Shine, found on screen.
Jesus made a promise to always be my friend, to be with me forever, a love that never. I will believe with all my heart.
Holy God, we will believe wherever we go, and that's only because what you have done in our lives, God. We give you praise and thanks for your presence. We give you thanks for your passion, and we give you thanks for your mercy in our life, God. And as we come together today to worship you, we ask that your powerful anointing come upon us, wash over us, Lord. Wash away all sin in our lives, God, as we come together to worship and focus upon you. So as we do that, God, we ask that we have the courage and the strength to focus on the one that gives us life. May all evil and negative thoughts run scared from this place because of your powerful, powerful presence, God. Help us experience you in ways that we have never experienced before, possibly. Be with us, God. Heal us in every way possible. So that whenever we lift our voice to you, whenever we lift our prayer to you, whenever we listen and are with each other today, that we will bring you honor and glory and praise. Make us one with each other, God. And one with you, in Jesus' holy name.
Why should I lose heart when I'm not high?
Kids Corner will be presented to us this morning by Julie Cohen. Kids, come on down.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you? I love Jesus.
Yes, I do.
I love Jesus. How about you?
But I just had something amazing happen to me, and it's not even part of the children's message, but do you mind if I share it? Because it's really exciting. One of the things I love to do more than anything in the world is sing praise to God. And I've been fighting for about a year now. I've been having trouble singing, and my voice just wasn't working right, and I couldn't figure out what was wrong. But I just found out I have asthma, and I got some medicine, and I started singing this morning, and I had air, and I could sing. And I'm just so thankful. So that is an exciting thing. Never take for granted when you get a chance to sing to God. Because there's an old saying, it says, he who sings prays twice. So that's really cool. So I just want to say thank you, God, for the chance to be able to sing again. Well, good morning. I'm glad you came too. Okay, I want to ask you guys, is there anything you tend to worry about or get scared of? What do you get scared of or worried about? Shaggy and Scooby-Doo? Well, I can understand that. They're pretty scary. Anybody else? You ever not have your homework done and you know you're going to get called on in class? Can I get a witness here, anybody?
My homework is in my backpack.
It's in your backpack? Do you ever get scared you're going to be able to find it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, my witnesses are awful quiet, really. See if anyone else has an answer, okay? Anybody else? Anything you worry about? What if it's real stormy and mom or dad's out at a meeting or somewhere?
I'm scared of the house.
Boy, this message is just for you this morning, isn't it? You're just full of scary things. Anybody at all? Am I reaching anybody? How about a bully in class that's bigger than you? Thank you. That's for sure. Anybody have anything they worry about? Well, I don't know if you guys even need this message. Wow, this is amazing. I got a whole group of kids and aren't scared. Scary movies, nothing. This is a tough room. Any grown-ups out there worry about their kids or anything like that? Let me see a witness. Okay. There we go. Maybe you have to get older to worry like we do, because you know what? It's a mistake. Kids are closer to God, I think, because you're newer to earth than we are. We learn some bad habits. God tells us we're not supposed to worry. When we start to worry about something, that should be a reminder to us that we need to talk to God about it. Did you know he knows exactly how many hairs you have on your head? Oh, way more than 100. We're talking millions, child. We're talking lots and lots. By the time you'd count it all, you'd be dead. That much hair. But even while one's falling out, he knows that. So if he knows you that well and he loves you that much, then you don't have to be worried or scared of anything. Would you guys pray with me? I know sometimes I get up here and I pray and you guys all listen. But let this be a prayer from you too, okay? Okay, let's bow our heads. Dear God, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for telling us not to be afraid and not to worry. Please help us to remember when we start to get scared or worried about something that we can't fix anyway, to ask you to look out for that person or that situation, and to be trusting and happy and know that you've got everything under control. Thank you for loving us that much. We pray in Jesus' name, and you all said, amen. Okay, let's get our cups, okay?
Our song of praise is Stand Up for Jesus, found on your in your blue hymnal on number 514. The children will be collecting change for missions, and in 2009 they collected over 4,600 for apportionments. Your bulletin by your chair at home this week, and to remember those who've been mentioned, also those that we already know who have concerns or problems that need to be addressed. We are a praying church. We have a large prayer chain, and I think it makes a difference in our lives. We have a note here. Many thanks for all the thoughts, prayers, and good food that was sent to us after Dale's recent surgery and the loss of his sister. God has blessed us with such a caring church family, Mary and Dale Coble. And the next is made easier for me by the fact that she's not here. Sharon usually sits about over there, but she's downstairs with the good Methodist ladies doing what they do so well, cooking that great lunch bunch food. And I should mention today, we're still talking about grilled ham, fresh pineapple, and trimmings. Come on down after lunch. Now, you guys go that way. I'm going to go this way. It's the easiest way down and the quickest way. Oh, okay, shucks. Anyhow, Sharon is celebrating her birthday today, my wife Sharon. And what I celebrate is the fact that she has blessed my life for 35 years. I don't know how she does it, but she does. And so I just give thanks to God for that huge blessing in my life. Let us go to God in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning with thanks for the blessings that you provide in each of our lives. Sure, there are things that go wrong, but you bless our lives each day in many different ways. Our spouses, our just the beautiful area that we live in. Keep us ever mindful of your direct and immediate care in our lives so that we may be truly grateful and thankful that your love abounds within us and around us. Now guide our hearts and minds so that we may truly understand your purpose and plans for our lives and truly desire to serve you with gladness and joy and just the joy of living in your grace. These things in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Homer. Our scripture for today is taken from the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, if you were here last week, you know that it's in the New Testament, and it's right after the two books to the church in Corinth, 1 and 2 Corinthians. That's what they're called in our Bibles. I invite you to turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 2. And once you find Galatians chapter 2, I invite you to close your Bible on your finger and stand with me. Raise those Bibles high above your head and let's say our Bible pledge together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Please remain standing with me as we read Galatians chapter 2, beginning with verse 19. The Apostle Paul says, "For though the law I died to the law, For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. As we continue our trek through Galatians, I just wanted to remind you what prompted Paul's letter to the churches in Galatia. Remember that he founded these churches and later found out that some Jewish Christian missionaries came through preaching that Paul didn't have it quite right. Something about Paul's teaching wasn't right, and in their minds, they believed that these Gentiles essentially had to become Jews under the law of Moses, and then they could be a follower of Jesus. Now, in our scripture today, we hear Paul's confession of faith, which expresses his own experience that Christ, not the law, so in Jews' mind, the law is, but in he is saying it's in Christ, not the law, that the source of life, that is the source and the life and righteousness. I really like how the Message, the Bible, the Message, states this passage, and I'd like to read it to you this morning, except I want to read you from 15 to 20 this morning from the Message. So Galatians chapter 2, beginning with 15. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes Paul is really hard to understand. Anybody have that problem? No? Wow. Somebody needs to teach me then. But one thing I like about Galatians is that the Message is that it really spells it out so a simple mind like mine can understand it. And let's see what the Apostle Paul has to say from the Message. We Jews know that we have no advantage of birth over non-Jewish sinners. Now, you need to remember that to Jews, Gentiles were about the level of dogs. All right. If you remember right, even Jesus talked about wasting food off the table, right? You wouldn't want to waste your food on dogs. And the woman said, but even dogs eat the scraps from the master's table. Remember that? So it's kind of a Jewish understanding that they were the chosen race. And anyone who is not a Jew is a what? Gentile. And so Gentiles, which is anyone who is not a Jew, were pretty low on the totem pole, so to speak. So Paul says, we Jews know that we have no advantage of birth over non-Jewish sinners. We know very well that we are not set right with God by rule keeping, but only through, now listen to this, personal faith in Jesus Christ. How do we know? I love this. Paul says, we tried it. And we had the best system of rules the world has ever seen. Convinced that no human being can please God by self-improvement, we believed in Jesus as the Messiah so that we might be set right before God by trusting in the Messiah, not by trying to be good. Have some of you noticed, and I could say this as well, have some of you noticed that we are not yet perfect? No great surprise, right? And are you ready to make the accusation that since people like me, who go through Christ in order to set things right with God, aren't perfectly virtuous, Christ must therefore be an accessory to sin? How many people do you know that when you invite them to church, did you hear my assumption? When you invite them to church and they say, oh man, you know, I've seen how some of you people live. You go to church on Sunday, right? If that's what it means to be a Christian. Anybody heard that? If you've asked people to come to church with you, eventually you're going to come across that. Well, you know, what they're saying is, Christ must therefore be an accessory to sin. That's what they're saying. Rather than thinking about the reality. I think coming to worship is a lot like going to Alcoholics Anonymous. Some of you are going, what? Huh? What do you do when you go to Alcoholics Anonymous? I've never been, but I've read books about it. They say, my name is Eric Dirks, and I'm an alcoholic. Folks, when you walk through those doors to worship, you come in here and you say, my name is Eric Dirks, and I am a... Yes, but let's go a little deeper. Yes. My name is Eric Dirks, and I am a sinner. See how similar coming to worship is going to Alcoholics Anonymous? My name is Eric Dirks, and I'm a sinner. And when I walk out those doors, I'm still a sinner, and I'm just doing my best. All right? So, no, they're saying, since we're not perfect... Right? Christ must therefore be an accessory to sin. The accusation, that's hard to say, is frivolous. If I was trying to be good, I would be rebuilding the same old barn that I tore down, Paul says. I would be acting as a charlatan. What actually took place is this. I tried keeping rules and working my head off to please God, and it didn't work. So I quit being a lawman so that I could be God's man. Christ's life showed me how and enabled me to do it. I identified myself completely with Him. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ, the Apostle Paul says. My ego is no longer central. Ouch. That's not how we live our lives, is it? I mean, from college... We know when we're trying to get a job out of college, right? Even trying to get into some colleges, who is the most important? We write papers and send it to colleges and universities saying who is the most important and why those institutions need us, right? We send our resumes to jobs, right? And we lift up our best foot, right? We know in our society, our ego is number one, right? In some of our marriages, our egos are number one, and that's why we have so much issue. But Paul says that my ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. And I am no longer driven to impress God. Why? Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but it is lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am not going to back down on that. I just love that. To me, that makes so much more sense than what I read in other Bible versions. And I thank Peterson for writing that. You know, but I guess one question I have is, what does that kind of life look like? What does that kind of life look like? What does it feel like to have that kind of freedom? You've heard me say many times, if you've been here very much, that Jesus died for you. Jesus died for your freedom. You are free whether you believe it or not. Start living like you are free. How many, you know, heard that many times, right? Well, last week, someone came up to me after worship and says, Eric, what does that life look like? And I said, that's a good question. Because from the very beginning, we live by rules, don't we? You know, what's interesting is, as a family, I mean, you know, we have rules, right? But then you start living out of those rules and not really stating the rules, and your family assumes. Until your kids start bringing friends over to the house, and they break the unspoken rule, and you're like, wait, I'd forgotten that we had that rule. Anybody ever experienced that? When it really hits home is whenever two people are thinking about getting married. And that person comes home for the first or second time. Right? Anybody ever done that? Y'all awake out there this morning? Huh? All right. So we live by rules. It really came to light for me this week. Because at church camp, we had a Chinese youth there. He was it his third week in the United States? Second week in the United States. And, you know, I mean, not only do we have personal rules and family rules, but, you know, in the Midwest, we have rules. And I learned that, you know, you don't have to know somebody else, but yet you know what that rule is. I mean, it's just the way it is. If you are raised, probably this country, if you're raised in this country, there are certain rules, unspoken rules, right? And you know that without even probably it ever being said to you out loud. It's just an assumption. Well, you know, this guy, he had no clue about what those rules were. He had no idea. And until, like from my perspective, until I was put in that situation, I thought, oh, wow. I didn't realize we felt like that. Or I didn't realize we lived by that rule. A really funny thing, simple. It's not really a rule, but anybody here ever heard of s'mores? Yeah. It scared him. S'mores, what's that? Paul can talk like him better than I can. S'mores, what is that? And one of the counselors made it for him, you know, and it was funny because he took a bite and he was like, you know, it was funny. Gravy was another thing. I swear that kid ate more food this week than I have ever seen eaten at a church camp. You know, but anyway, it is just amazing the small little things like that that we take for granted. And many of the things that we take for granted are rules that we live by that have just been a part of our life and we don't even realize it. What is it like to have a life that's free of that? What is that like? You see, Paul speaks of a reality that has absolutely annihilated his old identity through the cross. So much so that he can say, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Some say that in cases like this, Paul is as much a poet as he is a theologian, as he searches for language and reaches for images appropriate to his experience of Christ. Have any of you ever done that? Not necessarily a religious experience, but have you had an experience? Have you seen something that is just absolutely mind-boggling? And whenever you go to your friend, when you come home from vacation or whatever, and you try to explain to that friend, and you try to put in words the feelings that you had, you just kind of stumble all over yourself. Anybody ever had that experience before? Just experiment here real quick. Everybody put their arm up like this. Yeah, your shoulders work. It works. All right. So, yeah, you know, I mean, so people say that Paul used poetry to try to help people understand his experience and his relationship. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Paul is describing the experience of having his former life world terminated and entering into a new sphere of reality where he is no longer in charge. I don't know about you, but that's kind of scary. I feel a lot more comfortable when I at least believe I'm in charge. And Homer, then I realize it's really Jamie that's in charge. Right? I don't know about you, but I like to, you know, feel like I'm in control. Even though I know the reality is, I really have no control. Really. But isn't it kind of nice to convince ourselves sometimes? But you see, Paul is dead to that. What Paul is speaking of here is more than just having the sins, his sins, forgiven. It is a matter of being transformed for service. Transformed for service. Paul finds himself, to his own great surprise, mind you, the instrument of Christ's reconciling love, the agent of Christ's mission to a world of Gentiles whom he formerly regarded as unclean dogs. Now, here's where I think we should be careful. You all know, if you've been here very much, you all know how strongly I feel about service, both personal and as a church. How we need to serve not only each other, but this community and the world. But in reflection of the teaching series that culminated with the youths, or as Joe Pesci used to say, youths. It's a lot easier to say that, I must say. Remember when the youth came home from the mission trip and they gave their mission report? And how awesome that was with all the pictures and experiences that the kids and the adults said that they had. Something really bothered me when I thought back over that little series that we did. You know, I preach those messages with an assumption. And you know what happens when you assume something? I don't need to say it here, do I? Thank you very much. I appreciate it. But I preach those messages with an assumption that I don't think I ever voiced, and the assumption was, as Paul says in various ways, by God's grace we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ and not by works. By God's grace we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ and not by works. Let's say that together. By God's grace we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ and not by works alone. Just make sure that you, let's read that again, because I want to make sure we understand that. By God's grace, we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ and not by works. You know, the however of that statement is that because of that transformation by God from within, others are able to see our transformation through our service and the fruit that we produce. Right? Now, the Apostle Paul had to be careful here because, you know, people listening to him, like maybe some of you listening to that teaching series, you might, you know, they were saying to Paul, now wait, nothing's changed here. You're saying you're saved by works. Right? No, that's not the case. You're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. And it's because of that salvation, the transformation that takes place in your heart, you bloom, so to speak, by doing works. You're not that you have to do the works, you want to do the works. You feel called to do the works. You're not comfortable until you do the works. That's the fruit. It's not, I do something to be saved. It's, I'm saved and I want the world to experience the love that I have. I want the world to experience the passion that God has given me in my heart. And that allows us to experience, to transform our lives and have service and produce fruit. As most of you know, several of us were at church camp this last week with some pretty amazing youth. Six of our own youth were there, and let me see, how many adults came today that were counselors? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, 6. That's all of us, right? Oh, Holly had to work. I wasn't going to lift up her name, by the way. But you know what? That's pretty amazing. 40-some youth all week, and these counselors are here. I just think that's pretty amazing. But it was an amazing week, wasn't it? With amazing, amazing youth. And I have to say, two youth gave their life to Christ. Now, some of you may be thinking, out of 40, only two? Well, you have to understand, several of those, Jamie and I have had in camp since they were sixth graders. Right? So they've had this experience. But two gave their life to Christ, and one of those youth were from Warsaw. Many youth and one of our counselors rededicated their life to Jesus. You know, and what an amazing privilege it is for me, and I think I speak for the rest of us counselors too, to see God move in people's lives like that. I mean, what a gift that is to just to be an outsider and see God working in those lives. You know, one reason why I went into the ministry, you know, I was a Christian all my life. At least I always thought I was. There really was never a time when I wasn't in church. And because I sang, quite honestly, many times when I probably wouldn't have been in church, I found myself in church singing. So I guess God works in mysterious ways there, right? But you know, I mean, I have never not known, even if I maybe didn't recognize, I've never not known the love of God and Jesus Christ. Amen. And a lot of times I was taking that for granted. Anybody do that? And so, you know, whenever I came to realize this, and praise God with my wife Jamie, she is the same way. We have such a passion. We want people to experience that love that only God can give. And some of you probably think we are the craziest people you've ever known. But we promised each other that when it comes to ministry and being a pastoral family, we would do anything within our power, whatever it takes, so that people would experience God's love and healing power in their life. Now, I pray that God works in your life individually so that maybe never before have you felt that much passion for something before in your life. I pray that God works on you. I pray that, God moves in your life so that you will want people to feel that loving presence in their life that maybe you have taken for granted. And we're human, right? We're going to make a lot of mistakes, right? And that's all right, isn't it? Yeah? Because, see, we are not works righteous. We're grace righteous, aren't we? It's only because of Jesus Christ and our faith in Jesus and God's grace through that we have our salvation. Remember, we come to church and we say our name is fill in the blank. And I am a sinner. You know, today's message is pretty straightforward. And it's in the form of a question. And that question is this. Do you have a personal faith in Jesus Christ? Oh, Eric, my story is I've been in church my whole life. You know what? So was I, but I don't really know as I think back that I really had the transforming faith that the Apostle Paul was talking about. So, do you have a personal faith in Jesus Christ? Really? Please don't just glance this off and say, oh yeah. Take this home with you. Let it eat at you a little bit. Do you, more than knowing Jesus, do you know Jesus? After all, he is the one who chose to give his life for you. Or do you feel you have to live perfectly to please God? It's easy to slip into that, isn't it? If you do have a personal relationship with Jesus, as a result of that relationship, have you allowed Jesus to transform your life? You see, we start with faith and grace. And we move from that from transformation to works. Do you have a passion to bring God's love to everyone you meet? Today, as we sing Amazing Grace, I want to give you an opportunity to come forward. I've said this many times, this altar is always open. Anytime you want to come forward. But today I want to lift up a special time for us to come forward during Amazing Grace. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior and leader in your life, if you are ready to allow Christ to be center rather than your ego, if you have never been able, maybe never had the opportunity to accept Him as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to come forward. And I also want to invite you to come forward if you're already a Christian, and maybe you just need to rededicate your life for God's purposes. Amen? So know that you are welcome to come forward, and please stay up here so we'll have a little prayer after the song. If you are able, would you please stand with me? Let's sing Amazing Grace, number 378.
The sound that saved a wretch.
seated. Let us, yes.
Before we move on, I just want to say a prayer. All right? Let's pray. Holy God, as we come before you today, we thank you so much. We thank you for the opportunity to give our lives to your Son and all that he did for us. We thank you, God, for those who took time to rededicate their lives to you. And dear God, if there are people that maybe just it wasn't the right time to accept you as their Lord and Savior, give them courage and strength, Lord, to come and talk to me or any leader in this church. And give us the courage and strength to lead them to a saving faith in you. Dear God, for those who need to rededicate their lives, we ask for your strength in their life as well. Allow them to know that there are people in this church that love them and care for them, and whatever they're going through, we want to know so we can help them rededicate their lives to you, God. Help this church, help each of us in this church transform our lives into your service, God, so that we can be servants to you and bring healing and wholeness to all those that we meet. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Let us continue our worship this morning with joyful praise that our amazing God has given us the grace, his grace. How sweet that sound is that saved us. Let us, ushers, come forward, if you will, with to present our tithes and offerings. for your inspiration in our lives, that we may serve you with knowledge and with truth. These things in Jesus' name, amen.
Our closing song is on the screen, the chorus to I Will Believe.
Let's get those hands going as we leave service this morning.
So I will believe
with all my heart, and I will believe with all my soul. I will believe, I will believe wherever I go. Yes, I will believe.
From this place today, knowing that you are a child of God. And in speaking of a child of God, an important announcement didn't make it in our bulletin, so make sure you remember this, okay? We need, we're having a shower for Samantha Cohen, and so right here is Samantha, and she is with child, obviously. That's why we're having a shower. So anyway, if you would like to give a gift to Samantha to help her out in that regard, we invite you to do so. Just bring him to the church, and we will. There, okay, she's going to take some today, but they're back there in the corner, and you are welcome to bring that if you choose. So thank you, and God's blessings to you. As we go from this place today, I seriously want you to understand, you are a child of God. You are a person whom the Creator of the entire universe knew before you were even born. Think about that for a minute. The Creator of the universe knew your name and had a special purpose for you and your life. And today I call you to go and be that person. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, shalom to you.